Dear brethren, this is my 14th audio sharing during this pandemic. Today I intend to continue sharing with you on the theme, Kingdom Building and Spiritual Warfare, the second message. In the last message, we looked at the biblical theological perspective of spiritual warfare and its relationship to the advancement of God's kingdom. We have seen your kingdom come. Is part of the core center of prayer and aspiration of all who love God and are committed to Him. We have seen God's kingdom is in the spiritual realm, not in the visible temporal realm, not of this world. We saw the advancement of God's kingdom directly involves spiritual warfare, and so in true service, it is vital to know how to fight the good fight of faith, and we need to understand the biblical revelation on this subject. When the gospel is preached, and people respond in true repentance and faith in Christ, there is a turning from darkness to light, receiving forgiveness of sins, being rescued from the domain of darkness and transference to the kingdom of God, from the dominion of Satan to God, a release from being held captive by the evil one. Man has a vital part in God's plan for the advancement of God's kingdom, which involves spiritual warfare and the defeat and obliteration of the kingdom of darkness and resolution of the rebellion of the forces of darkness. Your kingdom come is the dynamic coming of God's kingdom. It's an ongoing process. It's an integral part of God's advance, of God's salvation plan and the fulfillment of God's purposes. It is taking place during this phase of the unfolding of God's purposes. The Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah have been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, who suffered for our sins, prophesied of the coming Messiah that he is King, at the same time, the suffering servant, whose greatness extends to the end of the earth, whose kingdom of justice and righteousness endures forever. What was accomplished at the cross also includes decisive victory over the forces of darkness. The way is now open for all to enter God's kingdom through repentance and faith in Christ and be set free from bondage to the forces of darkness. And there will be ultimate triumph of Christ and His kingdom, which will last forever, the eternal kingdom of God. The way is now open for all to enter God's kingdom, but it does not mean all will enter God's kingdom. Now all can be set free from bondage to the forces of darkness and sin, but it does not mean that all will enjoy this freedom in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can set us free from the law of sin and death. Yes, we can be set free. Being in God's kingdom, we can enjoy righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We can experience the freedom in Christ and enjoy peace and joy in the Holy Spirit under all circumstances. It is feasible, and nothing and no one can separate us from the love of Christ. And we can overwhelmingly conquer through Christ who loves us, whatever the situation may be going through, however difficult, and including this pandemic and whatever may confront us in the future. Yes, it is feasible. This is what God has assured us in the scriptures, His intentions for our lives. But we need to understand how we can live out such a life and respond to God accordingly. Today I want to consider further with you how God wants us to live out our lives meaningfully in this fallen world, after we become His children, in the context of spiritual warfare. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you be pleased to help us understand how we can fare well in our walk with you and service to you in this fallen world in the context of spiritual opposition and spiritual warfare. They will not be ignorant of the wiles and the attacks of the forces of darkness. And we will know how to take our stand and how to counter the attacks of the evil one. We pray that for protection and also for good communication and reception as we consider this subject. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We enter the kingdom of God through the new birth. This is what the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And the new birth takes place through repentance and faith in Christ and what he has accomplished at the cross. But entry into God's kingdom is not the end, but the beginning of our journey with the Lord and with all who love him. And it is God's intention after we become his children that we be increasingly conformed to the image of Christ. This has been in God's heart, his intentions for us, even before the creation of man. His plans, his intentions for us is that we be predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29. God wants us to become conformed to the image of his Son. The process of spiritual growth and the working of God's purposes is meant to take place in the context of the healthy expression of body life as revealed in the scriptures. For example, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, that God has given apostles, given some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So the saints are meant to be equipped, built up for the work of service until there's a direction, a goal, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. God wants all of us to grow into maturity, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Verse 15, we are to grow up in all aspects in him who is the head, even Christ. The development of every aspect of our being into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So all of us, each one of us, are to grow in all aspects, and each one not only growing well, but there's a proper working of each individual part in the body of Christ. And this will cause the growth of the body. The body will be built up in love. God's kingdom is meant to grow in quality, power, and glory until the second coming of Christ throughout our time on earth. At the personal level and together, the expression of body life. We are participating in the advancement of God's kingdom, and the kingdom of God is meant to grow in quality, power, and glory. But how does this take place? Briefly, the dynamic advancement of God's kingdom takes place in the context of the expression of God's children submitting themselves to God's reign in their lives. When more and more God's children are experiencing the reign of God in their lives and manifesting God's power, God's wisdom, and God's glory, and overcoming the forces of darkness. So the kingdom of God advances as God's children grow in spiritual maturity. And as they submit to the reign of God more and more, they manifest the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the glory of God in their through their lives at a personal level and expression of body life, and in the midst of it all, overcoming the forces of darkness. And also, it includes the conversion of non-believers being delivered from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light, and believers experiencing the unfathomable riches in Christ in increasing measure. More and more, we experience all the riches in Christ intended for God's children. And living overcoming lives, on the basis of the victory of the cross, on the basis of what was accomplished at the cross, the victory of the cross, God's children can live overcoming lives, manifesting the power, wisdom, and glory of God, and experiencing the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. I mention this so that we understand the victorious Christian life. The way God wants us to live our lives on earth includes going through difficulties, sufferings, and pain. But it is in fellowship of Christ's suffering. That is, not just all any kind of suffering, but suffering because of faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to God includes suffering. But it takes place in the context of our being guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And all that we are going through, as we submit ourselves to the reign of God, as we are guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are bringing to completion what Christ accomplished on the cross in the fulfillment of God's purposes. What Christ accomplished on the cross does not bring to an end the fulfillment of God's purposes. What is ongoing now during this phase includes, at the heart of it, the expression of church life, body life, believers submitting to God, God reigning their hearts, and God's purposes continuing to unfold until its accomplishment. And all this is in the context of the advancement of God's kingdom, and in the context of overcoming spiritual opposition. Believers functioning according to God's revelation and power. This is critical. Believers need to learn how to live and to function in the way God desires, according to how what God has revealed in the scriptures and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And through expression of body life, the proper working of each individual part, the prayer ministry of believers and the church, fellowship amongst believers, mutual upbuilding, mutual edification, each one growing unto maturity, and each one learning how to fight the good fight of faith, and also learning how to fight together as the army of God. To live well, to be effective in God's kingdom, it is important to know our situation context. It's important for us more and more to know the God we believe in and His provisions for us and how He wants us to live out our lives. Here I'm not just talking about no increasing knowledge in the sense of mental knowledge concepts, a growing appreciation of who God is, grounded in the truth revealed in the scriptures. Increasing appreciation, understanding, and making good use of God's provisions for us, and entering more and more into how God wants us to live out our lives. We must also know our enemy and his wiles, and how to counter them. Understand scriptural revelation, and also how this works out in practical daily living. And it's important we see, recognize that spiritual warfare is an integral part of Christian living for ourselves and also for others, because spiritual warfare is vitally linked to kingdom building. We want to participate in the advancement of God's kingdom. Advancement of God's kingdom requires overcoming the opposition of the forces of darkness, because the forces of darkness under the evil one will seek to do all they can to oppose the advancement of God's kingdom and the fulfillment of God's purposes and the setting free of captives. Many non-believers set free from bondage to the forces of darkness through conversion, but also in the lives of believers, in many areas of our lives, believers in various aspects, areas of their lives, the evil one are exercising influence over their lives because of deficiencies. The evil one taking advantage, and they are not totally free. The freedom in Christ that God intends for us. So the advancement of God's kingdom includes not only non-believers being set free through conversion, but also believers enjoying more and more our freedom in Christ as intended by God. So of course, the forces of darkness will oppose and seek to hinder all this from taking place. It is important for us not to be ignorant of the wiles and schemes of the evil one, so that he will not be able to take advantage to exploit our ignorance in his attacks on us. And this is actually going on all the time. The forces of darkness able to take advantage of the ignorance of believers. They are not even aware of the various areas of their lives being under attack, and as a result, there are detrimental effects on believers as well as hindrance to the advancement of God's kingdom. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11 that so that no advantage will be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Paul tells us it's important we must not be ignorant of the schemes of the evil one, so that he will not be able to take advantage of us. If there is little awareness and understanding of spiritual warfare and how to fight the good fight of faith, how can God's children participate effectively in the advancement of God's kingdom? This is a question that we need to carefully ponder over. Why it is important that we are not ignorant of the wiles of the evil one, and we need to understand the subject of spiritual warfare and learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Otherwise, how can we participate effectively in the advancement of God's kingdom? Because it would involve spiritual warfare. Imagine a war scenario where the enemy forces are attacking all over, and yet the people of the country are not aware of it. Chemical warfare, bacterial warfare is going on. Enemy agents have infiltrated the population and many acts of sabotage are going on. And yet the people are not aware. There's much destruction, deceiving, stirring up dissension and strife amongst the people. Imagine such a scenario. The enemy forces are attacking all over. It is important the people are aware so that they can counter and fight back. This is the situation we are in. Paul tells us our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the forces of darkness, and we must be strong in the Lord and put on the full armor of God. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 is addressing all believers. All. It is not optional. We are all soldiers in God's army. The moment we are converted, we are in God's army. Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 to 12. He's addressing all believers. Be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. All of us need to put on the full armor of God. All of us need to be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Yes, there are also human beings involved. Human beings who are negative. Situations can be difficult. Not only the forces of darkness at work, but Paul is telling us that ultimately the real struggle that we must take note of and we must overcome is this struggle against the forces of darkness. The fight against the forces of darkness. Overcoming the works of the forces of darkness. And Paul also tells us we must not live in war according to the flesh. Our weapons must be divinely powerful for the destruction of the fortresses of the enemy. We must know God provides for us weapons, and these are divinely powerful, and they are needful if you want to destroy the fortresses of the enemy. This is what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. If we do not know the divinely powerful weapons provided for us, then we cannot fight the good fight of faith. We cannot war according to the flesh. If we war according to the flesh, we war according to the flesh, then we will be overcome. The enemy forces are actively at work all the time, in all kinds of situations. Are we discerning to see their working? And are we learning to counter them in the way God desires of us? If we do, we will keep growing in moral and spiritual stature, even as we learn more about the realities in the spiritual realm, including the forces of darkness and how they work. And even more importantly, learning more about God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the truths that God has revealed in the scriptures. And also learning how to deal with the negative aspects and the deficiencies in our lives. At the same time, nurturing the positive qualities in our being and growing in spiritual strength and stamina. Actually, this is a major reason why God allows the powers of darkness to continue to operate in this fallen world, so that it is a context in which we can deal more definitely, decisively with the deficiencies in our hearts, and also nurture and develop positive qualities in our being and develop spiritual strength and stamina. The nurturing of spiritual stature. Let us take note of two points. One, whether we like it, whether we realize it, we are in the battle, in the spiritual battle, and we are under attack. We cannot avoid spiritual attacks. It is foolish to ignore that spiritual warfare is taking place, because this will result in our being unnecessarily hindered and we become a defenseless target. And many believers are suffering unnecessarily. They are hindered unnecessarily in their walk with God, in their service unto God. However, we need to take note how to appreciate this subject in a wholesome way. We must not try to avoid spiritual attacks that come upon us because of faithfulness to God. Yes, we want to be faithful to God, and there will be spiritual attacks that come upon us because of our faithfulness to God. And we must not try to avoid this kind of spiritual attacks because or by compromising faithfulness to God. We carry on being faithfulness to God. We need not be fearful of spiritual attacks that come upon us because of faithfulness to God. But we can and we should minimize unnecessary spiritual attacks and sufferings. For example, because of ignorance of the wiles and attacks of the evil one, and the failure to take our stand and countering his attacks, so we suffer unnecessarily, and much of this is taking place. Or There's failure on our part. There's wrongdoing on our part that renders us unnecessarily vulnerable to his attacks. We must minimize all this. Or placing ourselves in context, not the Lord's will for us to be in. We enter into situations that is not God's intentions for us. We get involved in situations that's beyond us, not suitable for us. Not necessarily entering into participating in any evil thing. Even in attempts to advance God's kingdom, even in trying to contribute to spiritual service, even in trying to help those suffering from spiritual attacks and spiritual difficulties. We need to be wise. Does God want us to be involved? To what degree? Are we ready for it? And even in areas where God wants us to be involved in, we need to look to God for wisdom to regulate so that we will not participate beyond what is appropriate for us, and as a result, we are overcome by the evil one, and in contexts which are serious, we may even suffer crippling spiritual detrimental effects on our lives. The second point we need to take note is that all aspects of our lives can come under attack by the forces of darkness. All areas, all aspects can come under attack. And the attack can come in many different forms. But also bear in mind, there are different degrees of intensity. And whether we are awake or asleep, daytime, nighttime, every area of our life, we can come under attack. Now this may sound a bit frightening, but we need not be frightened. Although this is true, we also need to bear in mind the other aspect, and that is, we need to understand that spiritual attacks takes place subject to what God allows. If God doesn't allow, the forces of darkness cannot attack us in any area. And also, subject to moral, spiritual principles involved. The forces of darkness cannot do as they please. They are subject to moral, spiritual principles. So that's why we need to increasingly know God, look to God for protection, and also to learn how to fight the good fight of faith and the moral, spiritual principles involved. That's why there's such a thing as minimizing unnecessary spiritual attacks. Because the forces of darkness cannot do as they please. We need to know how to order our lives so that we do not suffer unnecessarily. Some may ask, this, the mention of whether awake or sleep we can be under spiritual attack. And you may ask, if we are asleep, then how are we going to counter the attacks of the forces of darkness when we are asleep? Well, just a brief comment. Since I have mentioned whether awake or sleep we can be attacked. Generally, as well as before we sleep, we can pray for protection. The other is, there's such a thing as knowing and living our lives in such a way that even when asleep, it is still possible to have some degree of response in the context of spiritual attacks. But definitely, and we need to be clear about this, we can pray before we sleep and generally. And the other is the moment we are awake. And we can recall the spiritual attacks, and especially obvious spiritual attacks. We can remember them. We know. And we awake knowing that there has been spiritual attacks while we sleep. And the moment we are awake, we reject the works of the forces of darkness. We reject the influences and all that they seek to do to us while we are asleep. So we can still counter the attacks of the forces of darkness, even when they attack us when we are asleep. I will now briefly consider some areas of attack. Bear in mind, the evil one not only can, the forces of darkness often attack many areas at the same time. but as I said, subject to what God allows and moral spiritual principles involved. But it is helpful as I list down the various areas of attack, so that it's easier for us to recognize these various areas of attack and also how to counter them effectively. But bear in mind, these various areas are interrelated, and very often more than one area is attacked at the same time. And areas under attack, when an area is under attack and not functioning well, you also affect other areas and how and the other areas are attacked. So this is something we need to bear in mind. And it's good to always pray for spiritual protection for every aspect of our being, in every area, in every aspect of our lives, and especially areas we discern, we recognize, the evil one has been attacking us. So now I'll go through some areas, not exhaustive, but some major areas, including beginning with the faculties and the attack on the person. So we begin with the body. The evil one can attack the body, and in the area of sickness, right, make us don't feel well, not sleeping well, tired, suffering from injuries. At times, it may not begin with spiritual attack, because there are also natural causes. Or we live in this fallen world. We can fall sick. We may not feel well. There are some reasons why we are not sleeping well. We are tired. Or we may get injured. But in all these areas, the evil one, the forces of darkness, are all the time looking for opportunities to exploit, to aggravate. So for example, there may be reasons why we are not sleeping well. We are not having enough sleep. So we feel tired. But evil one can magnify it so that we have even greater difficulty sleeping and even more tired than we ought to be. And many do not recognize the works of the forces of darkness and do not know how to counter them, and so they are suffering unnecessarily in all these areas. The mind, attack on the mind, especially the thought life. The evil one can and do plant thoughts, negative thoughts, thoughts to tempt us in certain directions, areas, distracting thoughts so that we cannot function properly, we cannot concentrate properly on the things that God wants us to concentrate upon, attacking us on the mind so that the mind doesn't function effectively, planting thoughts in our minds to provoke strife, bitterness, misunderstandings, misconceptions, disruption in fellowship amongst the brethren. Because all this will hinder the believer functioning well, hinder the believers from functioning well in body life and the effective expression of body life. And many are not so conscious how these things are taking place and do not know how to take their stand to counter the attacks. And as a result, they are adversely affected. Attacks on the mind includes deception. Deception is a very major area of attack by the evil one. This is clear from scriptural revelation. The evil one can also be referred to as the deceiver. It's a major way in which he deceives us. And one area where the evil one seeks to work is in the area of wrong doctrines, in the area of distortion of the truth, because truth is very important for us to live well and to respond well to God. And the evil one, the Lord Jesus, describes him as the one who is the father of lies. There's no truth in him. God wants us to walk in the truth. The evil one is the opposite of the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth. And one major area of attack on God's work and God's people and the church is wrong teaching, wrong doctrines, wrong understanding of the Bible. The Bible, very important for us, but we need to correctly interpret, apply, understand the truth revealed in the scriptures accurately and in a wholesome way. Overemphasis, unbalanced views can also lead to serious errors. Wrong understanding of the scriptures can result in serious wrong doctrines, and if very serious, can actually move in the direction of cults. This is a significant issue throughout church history and is still true today. We need to be alert. Not everything that comes under the banner of Christian teaching is sound. There are all kinds of unwholesome teaching emphasis that's going on, some more serious than others. It includes unwholesome, wrong teaching that can result in a wrong understanding of dependence on God. That may sound so good. We must depend on God. We must not depend on ourselves. And so it results in not exercising our faculties properly. It results in passivity and even exploiting the situation and manipulating our faculties, including our controlling, manipulating our thought life. And we can then enter into significant spiritual problems, including wrong understanding of the scriptures, wrong teaching like prosperity gospel, health and wealth. If you are walking well with God, it is God's intention, God's will, that physically you are healthy and all illnesses, pray in faith, God will cure you. You shouldn't be ill, and you also should enjoy physical material wealth. Pray in faith, and you will get what you pray for. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. And teachings like this, I've talked about this in other contexts and also preached on this in other messages. I will not elaborate here. Wrong understanding that can affect millions of professing Christians, and the effects on their lives, their whole lives, can become quite distorted. Attack on the emotion, on the mood of the believer. This very common is taking place all the time, resulting in irritability, discouragement, fear, worry, anxiety, and even depression. Yes, there can be situations, circumstances, reasons why the situation can be discouraging and may tend to evoke within us worries, anxiety. We need to also recognize that. But the evil one is all the time seeking to exploit the forces of darkness, or seek to exploit the situation and attack our moods and emotions so that we become unnecessarily irritable, discouraged, fearful, worried, anxious. And if we do not take our stand to counter the attacks of the evil one, we become unnecessarily negatively affected. And it becomes more and more so that it becomes increasingly difficult, and the fear, the worry, the anxiety can be very debilitating. It can result in our having great difficulty exercising our faculties properly, and even to pray, to read the scriptures, to walk meaningfully with God. We can become very discouraged. So we need to learn to recognize the forces of darkness can attack us in these areas, and to take our stand to counter whatever they are doing, whatever the attacks on us in all these areas. The attack on the will. The evil one will seek to weaken our ability to exercise our will to choose what is right. This is very important. God has created us such that it is feasible for us to choose, to submit to Him, to choose to live our lives well, to choose to do what is right. But we need to exercise our will to choose to do what is right and to submit to God and to obey God. But the evil one can work in us such that our wills become weakened. For example, as I mentioned, he can attack various areas in our lives. He can do that through situations, discouraging circumstances, manipulating situations, but he can also attack us, aggravate the situation by attacking our thought life so that we are worried, anxious, overtaxed. And so we become detrimentally affected and become difficult to exercise our will properly and become ineffective. Exercising our will effectively is crucial if we want to choose what is right. And so we need to counter the attacks of the evil one and reject their working to weaken our will. The evil one can also attack our spirit directly so that the spirit can feel oppressed, feel heavy. And if together with attacks on the mind and other faculties, all this can result in our being hindered from receiving the truth, hindered in our relationship with God, and even hindering our countering the attacks of the forces of darkness. When the spirit is oppressed and heavy, when the mind is under attack, and we are not countering it, our emotions are attacked. Our body is attacked. And we are not taking our stand to counter all these attacks of the evil one. We can be rather weakened and incapacitated. We need to take our stand to counter the attacks of the forces of darkness in all these areas. And even if you're not very sure whether they're attacking it, but we sense they may be under attack, we can still take the stand to submit to God, to pray to God, to protect us, strengthen us, and also to take our stand to counter all the works of the evil one in any of these areas. The evil one can also attack us by working through the flesh, by arousing the base appetites, the cries for indulgence, or to walk according to the flesh, to walk according to the ways of the world, rather than walking according to the ways of God. And they even often succeed in attacks on believers, on the flesh, in all these different areas. It is important for us to take our stand to counter the attacks of the evil one, to reject his working in our lives in these areas, and not walk according to the flesh, and not yield to his arousing our base appetites and to indulge in the base appetites of the flesh. The world. The evil one often works through the world. The world, temptations in this world, the pleasures offered by the world. And the evil one, the forces of darkness, often attacks us through the fallen world, and also together with the weakness of the flesh. So we need to counter the attacks of the evil one in all these aspects. The evil one often takes advantage of the world and also the flesh, the weakness of the flesh. We are fallen beings. There's a weakness in the flesh. So we need to be alert and not walk according to the flesh. An area that the scriptures does talk about, that Paul also does warn us, not to be entangled by the affairs of this life. The affairs of this life. And it doesn't mean that all these are negative things. It can be in the course of fulfilling legitimate responsibilities that we may have in this world, whether in work context, in a family context, but in the course of fulfilling legitimate responsibilities we have in this world, we can become distracted. We can become hindered from walking well with God and being faithful in fulfilling what God desires of us, and we may compromise our faith, our walk with God. And this can include areas like our family. Family is important. Family relationship important. And we do have responsibilities in the family. But the evil one and the forces of darkness can attack us so that we can care for the family in a way that compromises what God wants us to do. For example, how we channel our time and energy And also how we love and care for the family. Is it in accordance with how God desires of us? Or we become distracted, we compromise in the way we treat family members. Likewise, our studies, our job, our career, do we become immersed, hindered, overtaxed in a way God doesn't desire of us? And the evil can also make us unnecessarily busy through situations, circumstances, including what takes place in our job situation, in our studies. We need to pray over all these things. And also some of us do have hobbies. And there is a place, including exercise, listening to music, hymns, and so on. And certain things we find meaningful, recreation. There is a place for these things while we live on this earth. But we have to be very careful. Are we indulging in these things in a way that hinders our walk with God, hinders the way God wants us to channel our time and energy? We need to learn to be discerning, to take our stand, to submit to God, the will of God, God's guidance, what God desires of us, and to reject the temptations, the wiles, and the negative influences that come from the forces of darkness. And sometimes the forces of darkness can also attack us directly on our being. Direct spiritual pressure on our mind, on our spirit, our emotion, our will, our body. And sometimes they can attack our being in a way that can be felt. Sometimes they can even manifest themselves in visible forms or attack us through bad dreams. Or sometimes we turn as bad dreams, nightmares. And as we grow in understanding of spiritual warfare, we can actually recognize and discern attacks by the forces of darkness in our dreams, through our dreams while we are asleep. And sometimes they are not exactly dreams. We are half awake, half asleep. We are conscious the spiritual attacks are taking place, different from normal dreams. And one objective is to frighten us. We need to take our stand to reject the attacks, the working of the forces of darkness in any of these areas, in all these areas, and in resisting, rejecting the working of the forces of darkness, we must always remember to do it in the name of Jesus and the basis of the victory of the cross. We cannot reject the attacks, reject the working, reject the influence of the forces of darkness in our own strength. But we must reject them in the name of Jesus, in reliance on the enabling of the Holy Spirit and on the basis of the cross. So just one concluding remark. In our consideration of the attacks of the forces of darkness, we need to bear in mind our basic posture and approach to life as we seek to walk with God. Our basic posture, which is in our hearts and in our minds, is submission to God, and submission to God in everything, and resisting, rejecting all the works of the forces of darkness. This principle comes through in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit to God, resist the evil one. We submit to God in our heart, in our mind, in everything, in every issue. We resist, we reject all the works of the forces of darkness. And we always do so in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we do it with a sense of reliance on the Lord and the empowering, the enabling of the Holy Spirit. On the basis of the victory of the cross, we reject the attacks of the forces of darkness. We reject their works, their working in our lives. And we pray for others. It is also feasible to reject the works of the forces of darkness in their lives, the negative influences on their lives. And we always do so in the name of the Lord Jesus, on the basis of what was accomplished at the cross, and looking to the Lord to empower us, to enable us. The Lord willing, in my next sharing, I will elaborate further on our response to, in the context of spiritual warfare and attacks of the forces of darkness, and also overcoming the forces of darkness in the context of the advancement of God's kingdom. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for what was accomplished at the cross, including the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross over Satan and all the forces of darkness. And we thank you that we too can overcome the opposition of the forces of darkness. We too can overcome the forces of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus and on the basis of the victory of the cross. We pray that you help us to gain insight into the truths revealed in the scriptures, including on the subject of spiritual warfare and how we can fight the good fight of faith and live an overcoming life. That we'll learn to be discerning, we'll learn to be wise, so that we will not suffer unnecessarily and we will not suffer detrimental effects on our being. We pray that you protect each one of us and you protect us as we seek to serve you, to honor you, and to participate in the advancement of God's kingdom, in the expression of church life. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.